Translation. We have just begun the performance of this fruitive activity, a sacrificial fire, without certainty of its result due to many imperfections in our actions. Our bodies have become black from the smoke, but we are factually pleased by the nectar of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead Govinda, which you are distributing. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshma Hanuman Shigonitai Ki Jai. Purport. The sacrificial fire kindled by the sages of Naimasharanya was certainly full of smoke and doubts because of so many flaws. The first flaw in that there is no acute scarcity. There is an acute scarcity of expert brahmanas able to carry out such performances successfully in this age of Kali. Any discrepancy in such sacrifices spoils the whole show, and the result is uncertain. Like agricultural enterprises, the good result of tiling the paddy field depends on a providential rain, and therefore the result is uncertain. Similarly, performance of any kind of sacrifices in this age of Kali is also uncertain. Unscrupulous, greedy brahmanas of the age of Kali induce the innocent public to such uncertain sacrificial shows without disclosing the scriptural injunctions that in the age of Kali there is no fruitful sacrificial performance but the sacrifice of the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Sutta Goswami was narrating the transcendental activities of the Lord before the congregation of the sages, and they were factually perceiving the result of hearing these transcendental activities. One can feel this practically, as one can feel the result of eating food. Spiritual realization acts in that way. The sages of Naimisharanya were practically sufferers from the smoke of sacrificial fire and were doubtful about the result. But by hearing from a realized person like Sutta Goswami, they were fully satisfied. In the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Vishnu tells Shiva that in the age of Kali, men full of anxieties of various kinds can vainly labor in fruitive activity and philosophical speculation. But when they are engaged in devotional service, the result is sure and certain, and there is no loss of energy. In other words, nothing performed for spiritual realization, for material benefit, can be successful without the devotional service of the Lord. Okay. We have just begun the performance of the fruitive activity, a sacrificial fire, without certainty of result. Due to many imperfections in our actions, our bodies have become black from the smoke, but we are factually pleased by the nectar of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, Govinda, which you are distributing. Okay, we have some notes. Again, I didn't sort them properly. I'll be randomly throwing things around. Sorry, bear with me. So, did you ever felt doing something which is kind of fruitless and tedious, and you feel such a waste of time? Anyone? I did so many times. You just kind of going on, you know, there's nothing out of it. So much time is wasted. It's not satisfactory at all. It's drying, oh God, I wish I could just drop it out. Depressing kind of, very uninspiring feeling. So this kind of attachment there to continue to practice the same thing which shown so many times kind of didn't work, but you hope, going the same things that it will be, bring satisfactory result. So this is what's happening here with the sages. It's kind of attachment. See. Or you do something which you wish, but you're doing, but you're not really good in it. As they said, you are not born for it. There's another thing. You see something great, which could be very prestigious or glorifying for you. You're kind of doing, to your physical strength, you're going on trying to accomplish something which is not really your trade, as they said. And in the end, you'll be so exhausted mentally and physically that you'll just drop it out, disgusted. But this thing, you kind of, is an ego thing, you know. You just don't want to give up. It's mentioned, actually, that the other day I was listening. It's a very important point that all these performances of different sacrifices in previous ages, they were running a big time on ego. So-called elevation of, what is it, aroha panta, varoha panta, and there is a descending and ascending process. Your ascending process is much, very much run on false ego, deep down, because you're climbing up on your strength. See, you don't receive the knowledge to come to you. You're climbing up like yoga, ashtanga yoga, my goodness. You have to be strong to climb step after step. So that's a kind of previous ages. Therefore, he said that Sankirtan Yaga is most easier. Things come to you. See? Like mercy comes to you when you chant purely. It's not like by your own strength, by your pure chanting or whatever. You climb him up. No. Somebody is pleased over there. He unlocks and comes to you. That's him. That's how it goes. But on physical strength, we push on metal mentally. In all areas, in all spiritual parts, it's the same. You're kind of pushing you mentally, just physically. See? So how to change this habit? That's the thing. See, sages of Namisharanya, this interesting thing. They said that they performed for 1,000 years. Actually, they did. Of sacrifices. And it said in this verse that we just began our sacrificial fire. And we are out of soul smoke and you know, they just began. And then they heard the narration of Sutta Goswami. And they were pleased with that, but they were continuing on fire sacrifice. This is an interesting thing. Like this was in Dwapara Yuga. And fire sacrifices was not meant for Dwapara Yuga. You know, Dwapara Yuga was worshipping a lot of feet of the Lord. So I don't know what that actually entails. Process of Dwapara Yuga is worshipping of the lotus feet of the Lord. No worship, but serving lotus feet of the Lord. I just presume it's deity worship. Yeah. But they were going fire sacrifices, which kind of strange. These were elevated sages. They're supposed to know what to perform, you know. So it's kind of interesting that they decided to do 1,000 years of fire sacrifice in the threshold of Kali Yuga, which is not even for Dwapara Yuga recommended process. I guess they were qualified there, qualified to do. Another thing is attachment. See, they were pleased by hearing this narration of topics of God. It was giving them satisfaction, but they were continuing with fire yaga. Maybe that deep inside they were thinking, our advancement, our progress comes from these sacrifices, these yagyas, see, not from Sankirtan. Somehow occurred to them that they didn't realize that the Sankirtan yaga is a way to counteract Kali Yuga. But they were really trying to counteract Kali Yuga by doing these fire sacrifices. It's an interesting thing with sages, you know. Therefore, to break from that habit, from that attachment to do the same thing, one needs some instructor, one needs a guru, yeah, guide who kind of explained our situation from all angles of vision to convince us listen, where are you going? See, where are you? What this will give you? Where are you going? See. Even materialist people, they do things which are unfulfilling down the road. They know that. But they hope that somehow or other it will happen. You know, doing, it will happen. It will give them this deep fulfillment inside. See? So expertise of preacher is to be able to convince people, to kind of move them away. Listen, give them a few slaps. Listen, this is what you're doing. And this where you're going, this is what you get. So that's a kind of what preacher is, how to explain the position. See? Like everybody, like all of us, thousands of lifetimes doing same old thing, looking for, you know, this fulfillment, see? The same thing, but somehow, you know. I don't know what's that, but... as I mentioned, you're doing the same thing or expecting different result. It's kind of strange. It's kind of stubbornness. See, we don't know otherwise. I guess, you know, you're attached. If you stop that, there's nothing else left to do. And then you're losing the hope that you'll be successful on the, I guess, this kind of stubbornness. Go against hope, you know. So it takes really humility to kind of admit to yourself, you actually have to stop. Change course of action, you know. It needs courage to break from that used-to-do habit, see. Even materially, how they call them, pioneers, they are those who actually broke from all this current, you know, which is not so easy. It's kind of psychologically, you're bound. Everybody does, you do, you know, this kind of power of group and tradition. Those pioneers who really achieved something remarkable in this world, in any field, they did something outrageous. Like, I heard one story, a nice story once. There was kind of under, like a lake or whatever, see, there were kind of animals. Somebody said, see, horses, small or something. They usually, you know, there's a strong current. They're holding on seagrass and they don't let go. They kind of, this bow may, they may manipulate a little bit, go left, right, as seagrass carries them. Nobody dares to break off from that. Until one day, one thoughtful seahorse over there, animal, was thinking, let me just break, you know, this such a vast water here. We are here stuck in this bush all life. And he told his friends, you know, I'm gonna just let it go. Whoa, you cannot do this. You're crazy. You're mad. You know, nobody does that. You are not a fish over there. This is our life. This is where we belong. This is what we do. Shut up, in other words. You know. I think these guys are kind of, you know, I must try. They can fly. I mean, swim, I can. And one day, whoa, took his courage. Boy, this was courage, act. He did. And, of course, current was carrying him here and there, tossing him. God's sake, but then slowly managed. You know, it's just a moment. I am my, whatever, fins, you know, I can. And then manage. And then slowly, he was able to swim. Wow, what a difference. That's a moksha. What a difference. Wow, he mastered the swimming through the sea. Everybody forgot him in this old place. And one day, let me go back and liberate them. These guys are in ignorance. I have to come. Yes, let's go. And he went there. And I saw him. Whoa, who is that? He's like us. Who's that? Oh, no, this is whatever. Toby or whatever his name is. Jimmy or... Ah, God's sake, how you do this? Let me, I'll teach you, you can do also. Need courage, come on. Oh boy, you are Messiah or something, you know. You know. And I slowly told them, and it was the same, hard knocks at the beginning. So this kind of attachment of our habits, not to break from our old ways, you know, see. This is because people get some pleasure out of their activities, see. It's not like they don't get anything, you know. Even in spiritual practice, you get something, a little bit, you know. And then it gives them hope that this will increase sometime. It's kind of Maya, like drop in desert to satisfy my thirst eventually. Anyway, just imagine, like previous ages, how long one needs to meditate. Even people who practice meditation and so-called spiritual life, they know this is such a long process. Like, you know, even you can come into a kind of stage of tranquility in your meditation for some time or sometime. You know, for self-realization, whoa, you never know what's down there. It's all vague, you know. So they know that, see. But most of the people who are so-called spiritual, they don't even care, you know. Like a meditation, whatever rituals they do, it's a part of their daily life, you know. You are happy, you are positive, da-da-da. And you live in meditation, helps you to cope with life, helps you with stress. And that's a full package, your material life, your tranquility. So they don't care, self-realization. This is more like peace of mind or something. That's there's no goal, you know. They don't care what's the goal, who cares? They don't know, you know. I mean, I kind of experienced with before Krishna consciousness. I spent many years in different meditation. And sometimes it's kind of something very profound, you know. But then towards the end, it was just so tedious, you know. It's like the same old feeling, and you cannot just break through. But this attachment, you know, if you stop, then there's no hope. You will never be able to transcend and achieve some realms or something. So kind of continue, you know. You know, you try, see. It's kind of, you know, gets dry, more and dry and dry. And actually, I take Krishna consciousness part. It was kind of breaking point of some time, maybe in a few years. Wow, such a relief, man. Wow, like, this kind of thing gave me this boost that to simplify life is such an important, crucial thing in Krishna consciousness. As much as simple life, my goodness, you can save so much time, so much stress, whatever it is. So, even kind of practicing yoga, whatever, or you know, all practices, meditations, you know, extensively. Many devotees come with their baggage from previous activities. They do different meditations, and even by practicing Krishna consciousness at the beginning, they're still attached to their own rituals, whatever is pranayama. Even excessive yoga, you know, you just focus what your body need, you know, not just spend 2 hours doing this asana, that asana. You don't need to do this, you know. So some devotees even do that, you know, like, goes and on, it's all, you know. It's kind of sidetracking, you know. Just focus as you need only, no more. No. Otherwise you'll cultivate this attachment, you know. And whatever is something mixed with Krishna consciousness, you'll not be able to develop this attraction for sadhana, this taste for sadhana in enough degree. You'll be always, you know, like, you like to read all kinds of different things. You like to do all kinds of different things. And then you Krishna consciousness, and at some point, you're feeling you're wasting time. You know, you should be doing something else or something. I met such a devotees. Some of them are still in. So for me, it's a sign of advancement when you start to drop this down, simplify it. Do as much as you need. Don't go over it, you know, like Padre said, don't study too many books. What else is instructions there from Goswamis? This is exactly that, you know. Your mind is somewhere else and then sadhana is, you know, tedious, see. As one diminishes spending time with those secondary things, that's kind of sign of advancement, see. Because only that sadhana, only increasement activities in Krishna consciousness, this what will give you the ultimate result. Not all this sidetrack, you know. yoga, asana, pranayama. Sometimes it's mentioned, how we balance spiritual and material. I said it this many times. For devotees, there is no material life. Seriously. There is no mixture. Like, you know. So they say, Krishna, Katha, and worship was part. This was already did. I said, they worshipped and did Krishna, Katha. It was part of practice of those yogis, Namisharanya, you know. But as I said, it was they thought that process, you know, advancement coming from yagyas, not from Krishna, Katha, see. But it was not stressed, I guess. This was just beginning of Kali Yuga. It was not stressed yet. So need Acharya. Lord Chaitanya didn't come yet. So it was confusion. This is Yoga Sandhya. This is actually mentioned, I mentioned once, Yuga Sandhyas, this preliminary stage of mixing the yugas. You know, they said in Srimad Bhagavatam, all kinds of spiritual activities are performed. So it's confusion. Where is the clear cut? So I guess this was kind of the case there. Prabhupada said in Purport, in Kali Yuga there is no qualified brahmanas who can perform yagya. But these brahmanas were qualified. See, it's interesting. These brahmanas were qualified. Prabhupada said in Kali Yuga there is no qualified brahmanas. But they were qualified, but somehow they didn't work. See. So that means even if there are qualified brahmanas in Kali Yuga, sacrifice will not be successful, even if you are qualified, because this age itself is just not for that. See? Interesting, yeah. And Sakirtan is only successful before, because Kali cannot intrude in. That's the thing. See? Kano, he can maybe influence performance of other rituals, but he cannot influence Kali, therefore he's successful. See? It's totally opposed. Krishna consciousness is totally opposed Kali. Of course, he can, like Kali, can influence the mind of those practitioners which have ulterior motives, fruity motives, something else. He can influence their mind, and then they can influence mind of others, similar unstable devotees. In that sense, yes. But process itself cannot be influenced by Kali. In the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Vishnu tells Shiva that in the age of Kali, men full of anxieties of various kinds can vainly labor in fruitive activities and philosophical speculation. But when they are engaged in devotional service, the result is sure and certain, and there is no loss of energy. In other words, nothing performed for spiritual realization, for material benefit, for spiritual realization or for material benefit can be successful without devotional service to the Lord. I mean, even materially, it's interesting. Cannot be successful if there is no... This is very interesting, actually. Think of it and share some thoughts in the end. Nothing kept form for spiritual realization or for material benefit can be successful without devotional service. It's interesting. Sutta Goswami was narrating the transcendental activities of the Lord before the congregation of sages, and they were factually perceiving the result of hearing these transcendental activities. One can feel this practically, as one can feel the result of eating food. Spiritual realization acts in that way. That means nobody needs to tell you, you know, in other processes, you never know where are you. Really, you know, you should never know. But in Sankirtan Yagya, you know, it gives you feeling inside. See? It's interesting. Because any performance of any Yagya is not certain also in Kali. So even in Kali, you know, if you perform something else, you're not sure where are you. See? Unscrupulous, greedy Brahmas of the age of Kali induced innocent public to such uncertain sacrifices shows without disclosing the scriptural injunctions that in the age of Kali, there is no truthful, fruitful sacrificial performance, but the sacrifice, congregational chanting of the Holy Name of the Lord. So still there are such a kind of brahmanas who kind of doing yagya, you pay them. Here he said that they're cheating on purpose, but most of the time they don't even know that this is not successful. You know, like there are many places, like I've seen quite few places where doing yagyas 24 hours a day, you know. Like constantly yagyas for different samskaras, weddings, the constant fire, people come in pain, and go, all temple runs on that. I don't know, did they get anything out of it? But kriteya deato vishnum tratayam yajatum akaih dvapare paricharyayam kalau tadhari kirtanam. That's what, whatever result you're getting by different ages, but different things in Kali Yuga you get by Sankirtan Yagya. In the age of Kali, practice austerity, yoga, meditation, deity worship, sacrifice, and so on, along with their various subsidiary functions, are not properly carried out, even by the most expert embodied soul. So even whatever you do, deity worship, and all this yagya, whatever you do, it's not perfectly done. Therefore, we have a mantras to counteract negativities in deity worship, for example. So this attachment, as I mentioned in the beginning, to do things, but you need the guru who will help you to break out of it. So this just gave me some other thoughts. Is it really possible that you, by your preaching, you can make somebody spiritual? You know, can you really take somebody, bring him on another level? Really? Like, you know, for me, I mean, I cannot say bad experience, but I'm such a kind of mentality that I just can say freely that I never learn from anyone, from any teacher, from any, I don't know. Even in school, whatever I got is from studying in my own time. Even in Krishna consciousness, you know, I just feel that nobody can take a block of knowledge and impart to my mind. I just learn in different ways. I guess probably it's true. Many people learn in different ways. For me, any teacher, only thing which he can do is facilitate discussion, bring out from you some thoughts, and give you feedback. That's only kind of value of teacher, in my opinion, only my opinion. I remember I was reading books also, you know, like Prabhupada gave such amazing classes and like in India, this Cross Maidan, you know, Pandal programs. Thousands of people who come every single day. They were so inspired. Prabhupada was so pleased, yes. But then as they go back, boom, 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 you know, this impression is gone and material life covers them. And after a few years, they're not even interested in Krishna consciousness, even if they are of pious Indian background. So all this, that's it. In Krishna consciousness, so many were inspired. Yeah, this is moment of inspiration. And then material life covers you, you know, problems cover you. Therefore, he said, satatam kirtayanto mam yatanta shadrida vrataha, and so forth. Only constant hearing can remind you. That's the way how spiritual life works. Not just hear once, amazing, and you know. Therefore, that's our life. Sadhana means constantly hearing, constantly, again and again and again. This is what's happened. This is what class is for. That's a benefit. Constantly, repeat the same old thing. I met people who said Prabhupada's books are very repetitive. They just repeat the same thing, same. Of course, that's the purpose of spiritual life. You know. Therefore, to preacher or teacher, whatever, who inspires you to take a process and study Prabhupada's books, that's a benefit. Prabhupada also said, what your half an hour will do. Exactly. You'll forget. We met so many people on the streets. Wow! And then you phone them later. Who are you? What's that? You know, But if you inspire them to study Prabhupada's book, and then this constant hearing the same thing will just wake you up and shake you. So that's the only thing in preaching. If you come to the stage to study Prabhupada's book again and again and again, and then it happens. That's a you know. Satatam kirtayantumam shi. Because if we came to this material world so long ago that is not anymore foreign place for us. We are very familiar. We belong here. That's what happened in our mind, see. And nature has the power to suck you in all these affairs, material life. You know, and then weaken your determination. That's a thing. Even if you intellectualize sometime about higher topics or something, you know, in your good time, whatever, the pressing affairs of day-to-day life, you know, all this, you know, bring you down, that's it. And then involve you in implication to solve your problems. It takes you away, to be so strong. So only constant hearing can wake you up and give ability and determination to unglue yourself from this illusory picture, like a breakout from this, like a canvas. You sometimes have a big painting canvas. So many things, so many people, you know, and then you are one of them. You have to break yourself out and jump out from this picture. Change the course. That's a good meditation, you know. And this can be happen only by constantly hearing. Only, see, to turn out from that. Like in Matrix movie, you know, you get a red pill. What happened to the guy? Everybody watched. Tell me, what happened to the guy when he took blue pill or red pill, whatever, I don't remember. You don't know. He just woke up. Everybody woke up in this kind of, like a chamber, like a big room full of boxes. And opened the kind of lid, it was kind of electronics and some smoke coming. He just came, what the hell is that? He woke up. He realized that all his life he spent in a box attached to the wire. Whatever experience he had was just computer generated. He was just laying down. He was not taking part in it. He was playing the role of in this box. And then he woke up finally. And, you know, after many years laying there, to get all these wires and just walk out from this box, seeing that so many people are the same. My goodness. So this happened, you know. This constant hearing can jolt you out, give you a blue pill or red pill. I guess it's blue. And you can wake up. That's called self-realization. Finally, words of Sadhu, Acharya, Prabhupada. Boy, yes, what I have to do. Constant hearing, this constantly have to hearing, you know. So there is no balance materially, spiritually. Like devotees, like deep down, you have to always have strong connection with Krishna, whatever you do. Like I said, you have to be tied with Krishna with million ties always. This is our only happiness, only reality, see. And also attachments are internal thing, not external. You cannot say, I don't know, I'm attached to my car physically. Maybe it gives you some comfort when you sit in, but, you know, touch your car. Is that attachment? No, it's an internal attachment. This is what runs this world. This is what gives you pleasure or displeasure, whatever. If you don't have attachment for something, it's very easy to give up. You know, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't know, like an example, maybe man, who is not attached to the woman, beautiful woman. Only he tried to exploit her, that's all. If there is no attachment internally, then he can give up her association any moment, just walk away, because there's no internal attachment. So that's kind of how it works, that all attachment is internal thing, see. Also, the sense of ownership. If you feel you possess something, this will give you pain, because whatever is, he has beginning, he has the end. That quote from Garuda Purana said, yeah, whoever thinks that he possesses something in his world, he will meet with sorrow. He will meet with sorrow. This attachment will just break your heart. See? If you are not attached, no problem. If things don't belong to you, who cares? Like, you're working in a company, and then all vehicles belong to company, firm, whatever. You don't care if it's damaged. Therefore, we even see the companies or these enterprises, all cars are pretty much wrecked. Unfortunately, our cars are pretty much wrecked because there is no sense of ownership. It doesn't break your heart when you crash somebody else's car, especially which is paid for, like company's car. I remember my father used to tell me, you know, he was so upset with his co-workers, you know, they take these like expensive cars, whether they're Japanese vehicles, you know, they just ruin them, you know, just driving, you know, they just using for their own purpose. They don't care. This is, yeah. Because there's no sense of ownership. If you feel his honor, it's your honor, or your own is Krishna's, but you are given in charge to take care, you'll be more careful. See, that's the thing. Because, and opposite is attachment. Any attachment here will make us come back and back again and again to this world, see. So, to break this attachment needs pain, you know, needs pain. A little bit, pinch. I always like the idea, when sadhu comes to the home of the grihastha, don't feel upset. Don't think, whoa, I came here to claim my proprietorship, you know. No, sadhu doesn't care for richness. It's not that he wants to enjoy. He just came to take your attachments away. You know, he wants to break this out and put you here, a more elevated platform. See, you hold him misery for possessions, for yourself or for family, whatever. So definitely, you'll break your heart. You know. So when sadhu comes, he comes to rip off your disease attachments, lift you up on the platform closer to Krishna, where life is more light, more fulfilling, more in mood of goodness, less hectic, passionate, more peace of mind. That's what sadhu comes to take from you, all this nastiness. And you should desire that. This is intelligent. When he comes, yeah. So which one will not prefer that kind of life with peace, with detachment over the passion and hectic and possessiveness? It's only madmen will prefer that kind of life. It cannot be happiness there, see. So if tune internally with Krishna consciousness, then external things have no power over us. That's the thing. It's a relief. So therefore, doesn't matter what you do in life, if there's inner connection with Krishna, then external can do so many things. You can maintain your family, you can go all your work, but internal feeling is there. And whatever happens, you always have a platform, you know, stable platform, see. I could say so many things, but I think better we stop. But I kind of random thoughts. I didn't sort my ideas. But that's mostly topic was about attachment for our previous activities. Even if they doesn't give us fulfillment, it just can't carry on, you know. So that's what's happened. Sages there in Amisharanya, that they carry on all the practices, but didn't happen somehow. And only Krishna Katha suited mind. So that's a process for this age, this connection. Is somebody else any thoughts?
It sounds from the way you speak, you're looking for a sadhu to serve you instead of you looking to serve him. And this is the difference. Because one, you're looking for something for yourself, and the other one, you're looking for something for that person you want to serve. Unless we get into the position of trying to serve someone else, not necessarily for our own elevation, but for their pleasure and satisfaction, that with our service, unless we do a service in such a way that it becomes a personal service to that person we want to serve, then will always be the goal. Our goal, if we're not careful, will be my satisfaction. I'm not getting it, or they're not giving it to me. But it's the reverse way round. What can I do for him or her? And the same with the devotees. What can I do for him or her? They're representatives of really the sadhu. So the goal is really the satisfaction of others, not mine. That they're not serving me. My guru is not giving me what I want. If you're looking for that, you'll never find it. You'll only find a relationship when actually that we search in such a way that we ask Krishna, Krishna, show me who is this person I can serve and not serve me to get elevation. Two different things. We've got to look for that person that we want to serve and satisfy, even if it means being chastised, which is the best. It really breaks through all this clutter that I listen to Prabhupada this and that and that. It sounds like our own efforts. It's not enough. We have to make a connection through a person that we want to serve. And that's what Nuruhari said to me once. If you want initiation, sure, anybody can get initiation, but it has to be with somebody you want to serve. And if you aren't making that connection, then we have to pray to Krishna, show me this person who I want to serve. And please, your person. That's the whole tattva. Unless we get to that position, we're all trying to do everything by our own ability. And we become the center. That's not satisfying me. We can read, and there's nectar when in reading. We all know that. But it's not that person necessarily that we want to serve. That's the breakthrough. That we just can't do it by reading alone or just chanting. Chanting takes you to a person that you want to serve. And if we don't have that revelation, then chanting will be just a sound vibration that will just be for my own ends. I'm not homing in. It's not giving me. I'm not getting there. I. So we have to look to do service in such a way, which it says in this verse here. Always engaging in activities of devotional service. Devotees feel ever increasingly fresh and new in all their activities. The all-knower, the super soul within the heart of the devotee, makes everything ever fresh, ever new. This is known as Brahman position, and the advocates of the of the, sorry, and the advocates of the absolute truth. One is never bewildered, nor does one ever lament or become unnecessarily jubilant. This is due to the Brahma-Buddha situation. The Brahma-Buddha situation is that person that we're serving their pleasure. It's devotional service. It's not for me. Otherwise, it will become just talk. We have to find that person we really want to break through and satisfy. And reading will give us something that will give us also an illusion that I can do it by my own ability.
We are talking about intermediate. To come to that level is very advanced stage. I'm a very practical person.
It's not.
We try to bring the people to surrender to Guru. You need to hear and realize I have to surrender.
Yeah. No, we have people here who surrendered to their Guru.
I'm speaking about the whole world, not about devotees.
No, we have people here who surrendered to their Guru. And we'll take the chastisement as their own pleasure.
To come to that stage, to be able, you need to hear.
It's a very simple thing. Now, if we don't...
It's a simple thing when you come to that.
It's a very simple thing. It's complicated for the complicated.
Sure.
It's simple for the simple.
How did you come to Krishna consciousness? No. It's not that you wanted to serve immediately, give your life.
You cannot say how I came to Krishna consciousness.
Just in general.
How I came to be... following this path was by a merciful Prabhupada disciple who wanted to preach to people.
Yeah, but you've been spiritually inclined before that, didn't you?
Maybe.
There was some hope, because
I was feeling pain of my own efforts in life.
Yeah, you saw exactly what I say.
To spiritual life.
This pain, I realize actually I cannot do it like this. And then you get information.
I found I couldn't do it myself.
See, that's a realization. It came from a long time. Bad experiences.
And it came from others trying to serve
from others also,
just trying to serve their Guru.
Yeah, but to come to that, I want to serve is an advanced stage.
This is all I can say, really. It came from others.
I agree to that.
Trying to please their Guru. Until we get to that point where we've got somebody that we want to please, then it'll never happen. Krishna will give.
Yes, that's true.
He wants us to take and surrender to Guru. We can't do it direct by our own efforts. We have to find that person.
Yeah,
we want to surrender to.
That's a process of coming to Krishna.
Yeah,
but so before that.
And there are people here who are following that process.
Yeah, they do. Now they're following process. Yeah. I don't know anyone, I tell you,
who
right away came and I surrender, I don't know anything from anyone. No, it's the stages. I was not satisfied. I tried this, I tried that. I was hoping I would find a person who will help me. And slowly, when you get purified, I realize what is. And then, I have to serve. Yeah.
And they want to serve him.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We can on and on and on. We don't agree. Shla Prabhupada ki jai.